glorious reality of death and resurrection is something that you, as a child of God, will pass through many times as you journey to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Your journey began with the death and resurrection you underwent in holy baptism. Your journey continues with the death and resurrection that you undergo daily as you live out your baptismal life. Finally, your journey will end with the death of your natural body and the resurrection of your spiritual body. In light of this final death and resurrection that you will undergo, the assigned text for this morning has much to say. There were some in the Church of Corinth who denied that a resurrection of the body was possible at all, limiting their understanding to the natural body with all of its wants and cares. These Corinthians argued, how are the dead ones being raised up, and with what kind of body do they come? In answer to these questions, St. Paul draws a simple yet practical analogy to illustrate the difference between the body that will die and the body that will be raised up. Listen once again to his words. That which you sow does not come to life unless it dies, and that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Now those of you with any knowledge of agriculture at all will readily appreciate these words here from St. Paul. In order for new life to be raised up, a seed must first be sown into the ground. And yet, the sower does not sow the finished plant, but rather a seemingly insignificant little seed. Only after passing through death will the glory of this seed be fully recognizable. The seed to which St. Paul refers is nothing other than your natural body. Adam and all of his descendants have been given this natural body, created out of the dust of the ground. It is this natural body that dies and will be sown back into the ground. As you have already learned here, death is not a natural part of God's creation. In fact, it stands in direct contrast to the life that Yahweh breathed into Adam's natural body there in the Garden of Eden. From the very beginning, Adam's natural body bore the image of the thrice holy Creator. But of his own doing, Adam despised the Lord and Giver of life and brought death into this world. Because of Adam's sin, St. Paul rightly concludes that the natural body is perishable. Even though you have not yet been sown into the ground, you can already recognize the perishableness of your own natural body. Indeed, you are a sinner to the very core of your being. This sin clings to your natural body in all of its thoughts, words, and deeds, in the things that you do and the things that you leave undone. This sinfulness necessarily leads to death, not because the natural body is evil, but because of the sin still present and remaining in the flesh. Only in death will the sinful flesh be completely destroyed, so that new life may rise up. Now, not only is the natural body perishable, but St. Paul also states that it is sown into the ground in dishonor and weakness. Just as a simple seed looks worthless as it is sown into the ground, consider the worthlessness of the natural body that has died. Whether you are a pastor, a professor, a student, or a visitor here on campus, you will be stripped of all your titles and honors, possessions and adornments once you are sown into the earth. Like it or not, your natural body will become most offensive and stink putridly. Worms will destroy your eyes and ears, heart and lungs, flesh and bones, and you will eventually turn back into the same dust of the ground from whence you came. After all, that is why man is buried quickly, for his natural body is simply unendurable on earth. That is why the Apostle Paul equates it with sowing the perishable. This process of sowing the natural body in dishonor and weakness forces man to acknowledge that there is nothing left of the natural body to which sin clings. The Apostle Paul was well aware of all the gory details that we just went through surrounding the death of the natural body. Yet, he would have you think nothing of that, but rather focus on the purpose for which you will be sown, namely, to lose the sinfulness that still clings to your body. Recognizing the purpose for which you will be sown into God's garden, death no longer has any victory. Death no longer has any sting. After all, your hope and confidence in the bodily resurrection does not rest upon the quality of your own natural body. Rather, your hope and confidence rests on another seed, the seed of the woman who came down from his Father's right hand and took the route of death and resurrection himself. This second Adam took the sins of the entire world upon himself and forever destroyed them when he died on the cross and was sown into the earth. Yet, the natural body of the incarnate Son of God did not see decay. Rather, Christ's natural body was fashioned into a spiritual body as he rose imperishable, never to die again. This spiritual body is made up of the same flesh and blood that Christ took upon himself from the Blessed Virgin, the same flesh and blood that Christ took to the cross to rescue you from all of your sins. In this very same body that bore the marks of his crucifixion, Christ descended into hell and triumphed over Satan in glory and honor, having destroyed sin, death, and hell once and for all. Because Christ is the first fruits of those who have been given this spiritual body, you too, as a seed in God's garden, will be raised up once the summer of his second coming arrives. No longer will your body be corruptible, weak, and dishonorable. Rather, your flesh and blood will be raised up incorruptible, completely separated and removed from all traces of original sin. The spiritual body that emerges will require neither food nor cover, have neither wife nor child, nor satisfy any physical wants. Yet, your spiritual body will not be a bodiless soul. If that were the case, then the spiritual body could not be called a true body. Rather, the same flesh and blood that currently defines your body, minus its sinfulness, will be called spiritual precisely because your body and soul will be nourished and preserved immediately from the Father, through the Son, in the Spirit. In other words, your body will live spiritually. The image of the thrice holy Creator that Adam threw away in the Garden of Eden will be restored in the spiritual body that Christ will give you on the last day. For on that day, Christ will transform the body of your humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. Not only will the angels sing praises and smile adoringly at your body, but God himself will take delight in it. That is what it means to be raised imperishable. Yet, with all of this talk concerning your future honor and glory, you must not overlook the fact that all of Christ's blessings, forgiveness, life, and salvation are yours already here and now. You became a seed of Christ in holy baptism, where you have already undergone one form of death and resurrection. In that water, connected with God's Word, you were buried into the death of Christ and raised up into his glorious resurrection as a member of his body, the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Although you have to wait until Christ comes again in glory to receive the fullness of your spiritual body, already now this transformation is taking place. How does this happen? For the blessed Dr. Luther, the very body and blood of our risen Savior is the means whereby the natural body is destroyed and the spiritual body is raised up. Listen to his words. Christ's body and blood consumes our flesh and changes it so that it also becomes spiritual, that is, eternally alive and blessed. To give a crude illustration of what takes place in this eating, it is as if a wolf were to devour a sheep, and the sheep were a food so strong that it changed the wolf and turned him into a sheep. Thus, when we eat Christ's flesh, the food is so strong that it changes us into itself, and out of carnal, sinful, mortal men, makes spiritual, holy, immortal men. Indeed, we are this already, but of course, in a hidden manner, in faith and hope, and the fact is not yet evident. On Judgment Day, we shall see it. So far, Luther. As members of the body of Christ, you have more than a general concept of life after death. You already have a precious foretaste of the glory that is yours in Christ. Since Christ is already fashioning your body after his own through his purely taught word and rightly administered sacraments, you look to your future earthen chamber 6 feet under with faithful confidence. For there you will rest with the patriarchs and prophets, the apostles and fathers, and all the blessed saints who have taken their last breath. Then, at the summer of Christ's second coming, your body will be raised imperishable, and like Job, you will be covered in this your skin, and in your flesh you will see God. Him you will see for yourself, and your eyes will behold him. May he who is the first fruits from the dead continue to open your lips and grant you the faithful confession, I believe in the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.